Did you know that the Bible says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly? We'll talk about that in just a few moments.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long worship
you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Good morning. Welcome to Perception. My name is Don Rule, and I speak on this radio program every week called Perception, which is a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. I'd like to give you the reason for the message that I'm about to deliver to you. One Sunday back in March of the year 2000, a boy in the congregation where I was preaching drew a picture of an open Bible, and he gave it to me. On one side of the open Bible, he had written out Romans 16, verse 20, that is the passage itself. On the other side, he had written the text of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. He then told me that these were to give me a jump start for the next Sunday's sermon. As I looked at the passages, I realized that they would be a good follow-up for the series on Amos that I had preached in that church, and also that I've been preaching over the radio here. The book of Amos and the grace and peace of Jesus Christ are something we want to talk about. What we have in the New Testament is in many ways the same thing as in the book of Amos. God sent Amos to tell Israel about a coming judgment. However, God was graceful, desiring peace. In the New Testament, we are instructed to learn from the Old Testament. Let me give you a couple passages, interestingly, from both Romans and 1 Corinthians, to which I've already alluded. In Romans 15, Paul wrote in verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And then when you turn to the next book in the Bible, which is the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 6 says, "Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." And then down to verse 11. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Now, both of these passages say, learn from the history that's in the Bible, especially as it is recorded in the Old Testament. And one of the things that we learn is that we are all sinners. In fact, again, referring to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, and the verses that I'll be quoting to you in just a moment, they're all a part of Paul's conclusion of what he had been arguing in the first couple of chapters. In chapter 1, he had said the Gentiles, that is, all non-Jews, are sinners. And he showed why and how they were. Then in chapter 2, He said, the Jews are sinners also, and here's why they are sinners. So in chapter 3, he brings us all together, and then he presents to us what is the purpose of the law of Moses. In verses 19 and 20 of Romans 3, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, said this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So here's the point. The law shows everyone's a sinner, and by our sin, we are standing in danger of the judgment. Listen to the way Paul's argument about all people being sinners comes out. In Romans 1, he presents the world's position before God. And you will notice here that this is not much different than Israel's position in the book of Amos that we looked at over the past several weeks. In Romans 1:18, Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." In John 3, Jesus himself presents the situation. And interestingly, just after he gave what most people call the golden text of the Bible, John 3:16, I want you to listen to what he says two verses later. In the same conversation, with the same thoughts in mind. And what he's going to show us here is that the whole world is under the judgment of God. And so he has given us one last chance to be saved by sending Jesus. That's the point of John 3:16. Okay, now listen to verse 18. Jesus said, "He who believes in him," that is in Jesus, "is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, of course, before we know about Jesus, we don't believe in him yet, so we stand under condemnation. But God doesn't want to condemn us. And that's why John 3:16 is so precious, because it's showing us that God has sent his Son because he loves us. Jesus is our one last chance for redemption. And Jesus can free us from our great enemy, who is Satan, whose name means adversary. And Jesus can save us from the powerful weapon of the devil, that is sin. Satan does not and cannot make us sin. But he does tempt us, for the Bible also calls him the tempter. Thus, if we can be given a victory over him, then the power of temptation and sin will be weakened. Now, the two passages that this young boy suggested to me deal with this reality that I want to give to you. Romans 16:20, the part that he had written out, says this, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Why did Paul make this promise? Paul had been sending his greetings to the church in Rome, starting at verse 1 of this chapter. And it sounds like the members at Rome loved one another. Moreover, at this period, there was only one congregation in the city of Rome. Can you imagine what it would be like? Can you imagine what it would take for there to be only one church in Klamath Falls, and indeed in every city in America and in the world? Among the many things needed would be people who cared for each other. Then listen to what the apostle says in verses 17 and 18, before he tells us about God crushing Satan under our feet. He He says in Romans 16, 17 and 18, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." You see, Paul's instructing the members of the church at Rome. They had to be decisive and take the steps that I've just read to you because of what Paul then says in verse 19. "For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." You see, trouble was on its way. That is, there were going to be people entering the church in Rome who would teach false doctrine, and by the false doctrine cause division in the church. This is one of Satan's most effective weapons against the church. He wants to divide us, which will hurt our preaching and teaching. That is, the effectiveness of it as it is taught in John 17. In John 17, Jesus prayed for the unity of the church. When you see why he prayed for the church's unity, you will understand why Satan wants to see us divided. Here is what he said, what Jesus prayed for in John 17, starting at verse 20. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." I have talked with many people over the years who say they do not know what to believe because of the division they see in Christianity. Now, I hope that you know we should go straight to the Scriptures to find the answers, to see what the Lord says and the direction that He wants us to go in. But the average person who is not familiar with the church or with Christianity or with the Bible does not know this. So they go to a church and they hear one thing. And they visit another church and guess what? They hear something else. Satan was determined to ruin what Paul said in the first sentence of Romans 16:19 that I read to you a few moments ago. Listen carefully to his commendation again. He said, "For your obedience has become known to all." In other words, it was not just news in the church that people in the capital of the empire were obeying the gospel, but outsiders knew as well. Their unified obedience helped Christianity to explode in the Roman Empire in the first several centuries. So what would those outsiders, those same outsiders, think when troublemakers, like those that Paul mentioned in verses 17 and 18, come into the church and start splitting congregations and starting their own churches and denominations? However, if the members of the church, those early Christians, practiced what God said to do, as far as withdrawing from those people who were causing divisions, then the early church would gain a victory over our chief adversary. That is why Paul can say that the God of peace would crush Satan under their feet. God would be the main actor. But it would be because of the action that the brethren were taking. That's why he says, the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet. It does not say under God's feet, as though he's doing it all. No, again, he would be the main actor. He'd be the main ingredient. He would be the leader. But he uses us to accomplish his will in the world and in the church when we are obedient to him. That is what Paul was teaching these people. Yes, he is the God of peace. My friends, if you've been listening for the past several weeks, just think about what we have seen in the book of Amos. While most of the book of Amos was a denunciation of Israel's sins and a promise of their destruction, we also need to see it all as a sign of God's desire for peace. How is that? I mean, after all, the book of Amos was pretty harsh. How could it be a message of peace? Think about it. He pled with them to repent. Why would he do that? Isn't that what the book of Amos was about? Israel, here's how you have sinned. All you other nations, here's how you've sinned. And you need to repent. But why? Because God did not want to punish them. He wanted to have peace with them because he is a God of peace. There is a passage in Isaiah 27 that I believe is a recurring theme in Scripture, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Even when you read harsh rebuking from God's prophets, you need to hear what is said here. Isaiah 27, 4 and 5. Fury is not in me, God says. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. See what God says? The fury's not in me. But if you want to fight against me, if you want to throw up briars and thorns against me, if you want to rebel and if you want to irritate me, I'll fight you. But that's not what I want you to do, and that's not what I want to do. Instead, I want you to take hold of my strength. I want you to make peace with me. And if you attempt to make peace with me, then you shall make peace with me. Thus, back in Romans 16, Paul assured the Christians of Rome, Satan will be crushed under your feet shortly. Again, I draw your attention to the wording of that verse. Is it not interesting that Romans 16:20 does not say Satan will be crushed under God's feet shortly? Clearly, it was to be done with God's help. However, again, God uses us. And while we are weaker than Satan, yet when we are with God, we are stronger than Satan. Satan is crushed under our feet when we maintain unity. And of course, the unity must be the unity of the Spirit. It cannot be a false unity of man. Now, let me give you the rest of Romans 16:20. And also that other passage that young boy suggested to me, 1 Corinthians 1:3. Paul said in Romans, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." And then 1 Corinthians, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." If you are a disciple of Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. And without the grace of Christ, we would be crushed under Satan's feet. But now with his grace, we crush him. Puny little humans, by the power of God, can crush Satan. Grace is greater than all sin and all enemies. My friends, if you understand the seriousness of the words of Amos, then you will appreciate Paul's words I've just read to you. We will also see that grace and peace come to us from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, never forget that grace and peace will be in your life when you go to the Father and when you go to the Son. Grace and peace are not just for saving you at the beginning, which is how many Christians view it. They want to get saved. They want to be saved from their sins. They want to go to heaven. So they come in contact with the grace of Christ, but then they think, okay, now, until I get to heaven, I've got to figure out my own way in life, or I need to seek the various philosophies of men. Friends, the grace of God will carry you through all of your life, through all of your circumstances in life. The grace and peace of God are for everyday living. Now, if you think, well, but I don't believe I have God's grace and peace with me every day, then you need to find out why. Something is wrong. Something is missing. Or maybe you're just not aware of it. Living by faith is primary. And the Nile Street Church of Christ is eager to show you the teachings of Jesus Christ as revealed by the Scriptures on how we come in contact with the grace and peace of Christ. And when you touch those things, and they touch you, and you're overwhelmed with them, you will find freedom. You will find joy. Let me say this briefly. You must believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not merely a good teacher, not merely a prophet, though he is certainly those things, not merely a Christ among many Christs. He is the Christ, the anointed one of God. Now, if you've gone that far, if you have investigated him enough to figure out who he is, then you've also been following his teachings and you've seen his works. And surely you have seen the need for holiness. And you have also seen how your life has been unholy. Therefore, I urge you to repent of your sins. That is, to turn away from them and to turn completely to the Lord. Let him remake your life. Let him remake your thinking. Let him remake your feelings. Let him remake your words so that you're being born again. That's what you need to do. You need to be born again. Surely you must be ready for that. If you're ready to die to your old self and to become a new person, you should get in contact with the Nile Street Church of Christ. First thing I'd like to do is to encourage you to worship with the church. There's Bible classes at 10 o'clock for all ages, and worship where everyone is welcome at 11. And there's also an evening worship at 6 o'clock, as well as Bible classes on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. The members of the church would be delighted to meet you. The new preacher, Robert Hutton, would also be glad to meet you and to get to know you better. And by gathering with the church, you can see how the worship of God is conducted. You can hear more teaching. You can have some personal teaching and understand the Lord just a little bit better. If you already know what you need to do, though, maybe you're thinking, okay, I've heard these things, I'm ready to be baptized. Well, you can call the church at 541-882-5894. That's 882-5894. or just go down and worship with the church. They would be glad to meet you. You can look in the yellow pages under Church of Christ. There you'll see a small ad that even gives a map showing you how to get to the church building. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your perception that God, by you, can crush Satan under your feet. This has been Perception with Don Rule and the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Lord, I come to your awesome presence. From the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Lay, Spirit, lay. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Lay still.